Our state capitol report continues in this half hour as we talk with State Senator Tim Cullen about his recent announcement that he'll retire at the end of this term, his bill to reform the redistricting process in Wisconsin, and other happenings in state politics. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, September 16th. And we welcome your questions for Senator Cullen about these issues and others at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tim Cullen is a Democratic State Senator from Janesville, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, good morning, Joy. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
You did make some news recently announcing that this will be your last term in the state Senate. Why is now the time for you to hang it up in the state legislature?
Well, because I've fundamentally concluded that I can go back to being a private citizen and work more and maybe be more effective on the issues I really care about in southern Wisconsin, particularly Rock County area. That I had two foundations I'd started before I went back to the state Senate, and I've got an idea for a third one, and I want to work with the free health clinic in Janesville called HealthNet, and I just want to work on those kinds of things for the next several years of my life. And I believe that the 15th district, which I represent now, we'll send a good Democrat up to replace me.
Yeah, I saw some headlines, though, that also said you were very concerned about the atmosphere in the state legislature and that you considered a political moderate, have a hard time getting anybody else to compromise. That compromise is a dirty word.
Well, I don't know that I'm a moderate. I'm certainly a left-of-center Democrat, but I believe in compromise. When I think about it, compromise is a fundamental part of the way we all lead our lives. I don't think you could have a successful marriage for more than 30 days, let alone 30 years, if you didn't have, you know, compromises. We compromise with our friends. It's the way we lead our lives, except in the state capitol. And there, people think that, you know, you're just hammered by your own left wing, the Democratic Party, the right wing, the Republican Party, if you are viewed as someone who's willing to compromise the other side. Doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the way it is today. So I, you know, the fundamental conclusion I made, to answer your question, is that I think I can do more on the things I care about the private sector than I can as a private citizen than I can staying in the Capitol in this environment.
Why is the environment so partisan?
Well, it goes to reapportionment, which maybe we'll be talking about in a few minutes. When you have a political map which is drawn so that the Republicans have the districts that have they put most Republicans in their districts, they put more Democrats in Democratic districts, you actually drive the two parties of the legislature further apart, because this kind of a gerrymandered map will produce more far to the right Republicans and more far to the left Democrats, because in those safe districts, they call them safe districts, where one party can hardly lose it, the only thing the incumbent has to worry about is a primary from the extreme of their party. And so they have no interest in working with the other party in the political center, because they're trying to secure their job, and their job is secure as long as they don't wander to the center. And then there's this huge amount of money. Once you have a safe district, interest groups want to, what they love most, they may prefer to give to a Democrat or Republican, but what they really want to give to is the winner. And when they know that it's overwhelmingly likely that a Democrat or Republican will win a seat, they're going to get the majority of the special interest money, plus they got the map drawn in their favor. So they can't lose unless they irritate the extreme of their party.
Well, tell us about this legislation that you are co-authoring that would reform the redistricting process in Wisconsin. How would you change things?
Well, today, the whoever has the power in Madison or any other state legislature and the governor, they hire private lawyers to draw a map that skewed heavily towards those who are in power. And neither political party is able to resist this temptation to draw it, make it safe for themselves. We've got maps now of the Illinois legislature, their reapportionment, where it's totally controlled by Democrats. And we have the maps on Wisconsin, where they're totally controlled by Republicans. And they're awful. They're gerrymandered beyond belief. They look like salamanders and letters. And yet we look at Iowa, our neighbor, who since 1980 said, we're not going to let the politicians draw the maps. They have the legislative service agency there drop the bill, which draws the maps in Iowa. And our bill says we're going to basically copy Iowa. We're not going to let the politicians draw the maps. They just can't help themselves, regardless of party. And if you look at a map of the Iowa reapportionment, there's all these squares. Not only do they keep cities and villages intact, they keep all the counties intact. So there's none of this cutting up areas based on where the Democratic voters are or where the Republican voters are. But ultimately, our bill, the Republicans are saying, well, we can't go to this bill because you can't take this authority away from the legislature. We ultimately don't. We just don't let the legislature draw the maps. The legislature ultimately has to vote for the maps that are drawn by nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau. The Legislative Reference Bureau draws all the other drafts, all the other legislation we consider. And this is a bill just like any other bill. It's the one bill today that the Legislative Reference Bureau doesn't draft, and we think they should.
Yeah. Well, we did see that Republican leaders have been cold to this idea and did say that elected officials need to be accountable for this and need to draw the map, and it doesn't look like the bill is going to go very far. Your reaction to the Republican reaction?
Well, I think they first of all haven't read our bill, because they keep saying the legislature must decide this. Well, legislature ultimately must vote for the bill, I think they can have their views for or against the bill. I think the impossible position they're taking is that these bills don't deserve a public hearing. The public will not see how bad this process is until they actually see the maps. And it's kind of hard to show them on a radio station. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the map of Illinois, drawn entirely by the Democrats, gerrymandered all over the place, districts that zig and zag, and you can't defend it. You look at the map in Wisconsin, drawn entirely by Republicans, same situation. And then you set those two next to the Iowa map, where the politicians didn't draw it. The picture couldn't be more blatantly clear. They bust up communities of interest. They bust up counties, villages, cities when the politicians do it. And when the politicians don't do it, they keep all those community of interest groups areas intact. So the Republican leaders they have the power to refuse to do this, refuse to even have a hearing on it. But we're going to keep on them. And if they won't have a hearing at some point, we'll have a public sessions on it that amount to hearings, and people have a chance to look at the maps and come and make comments.
Yeah, well, we'll try to find those maps online and put a link to them on our website or on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page so people can take a look at them. George in Monroe is with us. Hi, George.
Hi, good morning. I guess I personally think this is the most important issue that any legislature is facing, and it's obvious that your bill is going nowhere, but I think it might be constructive right now if the Democrats were willing to take the pledge that they support this, and I mean every single one of them, so that 6 years from now, whenever they get back in power, they are on record and committed to doing this, because, you know, you're wasting your time now having hearings where everybody shakes their finger at the Republicans and say that you're nasty people, this is what the League of Women Voters tell you should do. You need to get some people on record saying they would do it, and the place to start is with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Senator Collin?
Well, you make a good point. But what we try to take the partisanship out of this by showing the Illinois maps drawn by Democrats. No, just as bad as the maps in Wisconsin drawn by Republicans. So we try to take this issue away from one party or the other. My party, Democrats, have a difficult thing to defend, which is in 2009, 2010, they could have done this when they had complete control, and they didn't. What we're trying to do here, and why we're doing it now, and I think I understand the caller's point that it's going to happen again in 2021, our argument basically is that right now, in 2013, we don't know for sure who's going to have complete control of state government in 2021. Because I understand that those in power usually don't ever want to give up their power. But with the maps the Republicans have drawn, it's likely they may keep one or both houses for most or maybe all of the rest of this decade. But what no one can predict is who's going to be the governor of Wisconsin in 2021. And so we're saying, do it now before we know who's going to have the power in 2021. Let's do it when we don't know which party is in charge. We also know that there's great turnover in the legislature. I'm not going to be there, for example, obviously, in 2021. But we looked at the turnover in the legislature between 2001 and 2011, the last 10-year segment. And in that 10 years, there was 70% turnover in legislators. There were 70% new ones in 2011 compared to 2001. So we're saying to the legislature, both parties, you're probably not going to be here anyway. So why don't you do the right thing now, long before 2021?
Yeah, you and Republican State Senator Dale Schultz are often mentioned as being in the political center. I won't say moderate. Now, Senator Schultz is already has someone who says he's going to a primary challenger. Should Senator Schultz decide to run for re-election, and now you're retiring. How concerned are you about the prospect of an even more partisan state government?
Well, I am concerned about it, but you know, I don't know where it's going to go. It isn't going very well right now. For the interest of the general public. Senator Schultz is an example of what this system does to you. If you don't go with your party all the time, especially in a couple of big issues, he's been with his party 98% of the time probably, but he didn't support him on two big issues, Act 10 and the mining bill, and so they punish him with a primary. It'll be a well-funded primary opponent. That's a message, not just to Senator Schultz. That's a message to the rest of the people in the Republican Party. You get in line or you get a primary opponent. And this kind of map allows that kind of pressure to be effective because they have these one-party districts.
We are talking with Tim Cullen. He's a Democratic state senator from Janesville. Talking to him some about this this legislation that he is co-authoring that would reform the redistricting process in Wisconsin. It would have an independent agency, in this case, the legislative bureau, a nonpartisan bureau, redrawing the maps rather than the legislature. We're welcoming your questions about this legislation. We'll also talk about some other issues before the state legislature. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Tim Cullen, a Democratic state senator from Janesville. We are talking about his recent announcement about his retirement at the end of this term, his bill to reform redistricting in Wisconsin, and we will talk about some other issues before the state legislature in state politics and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more, Senator Cullen, about your plan to reform redistricting. You say it's the Legislative Reference Bureau that would take over the task of redrawing the maps?
Yes. Because the maps actually become a bill in the legislature, just like any other bill we consider. And they draft all the other bills. So they are nobody can seriously say that they have some kind of partisan tilt. They are civil servants that serve the legislature, and they serve Republicans and Democrats equally. They are just not a partisan organization. The way this would work would be legislative leadership is not entirely taken out of this. There would be this five-person committee. Two of them would be appointed by the Democratic leaders, two appointed by the Republican leaders. And the fifth person, the chairman, would be picked by those four. So you would get this impartial oversight board or commission, whatever you want to call it. They don't draw the maps, but when the maps are drawn by the Legislative Reference Bureau, they take the maps around the state and hold public hearings on them. And then the legislature considers those maps. The legislature must vote the map up or down. They can't modify it. They vote it down, it goes back to the Reference Bureau. They have to send back their complaints about it, and they may react. The Reference Bureau may change the maps a little bit to reflect those complaints. It may not. Legislature gets a second shot at it. They can say yes or no. This process goes on. If they can't reach it, legislature won't pass their bill, and three times it goes to the Supreme Court for them to draw it, which is sort of the system we've used for the last 50 years. If the legislature couldn't agree, it went to court. Usually went to the federal court. So the legislature is not cut out of this process, but they don't get to draw the darn thing. They just need to they vote for it, and they can vote against it. But this is exactly what Iowa does. It's worked in Iowa since 1980. It's never gone to the court. The legislature there is adopted in the first or second go-around, every time but once, I think it is. And people in Iowa believe in this thing, and people in both parties believe in it. It works, and they have competitive races. And the real reason why you want to have competitive races, at least in my view, is if you have a race where the district is roughly 50-50 Democrat-Republican or 52-48, then if you want to get elected to that district, you have to listen to almost everybody in your district. You can't just listen to the extreme of your own party. You have to listen to those who are more moderate in both parties. You have to listen to independents, or you're not going to win the election. So that's, I think, is the great advantage to the public. The public tends to get more involved in really visceral issues like Act 10 or ultrasounds and, women's issues and Medicaid and things that people feel very strongly about, taxes. But the results on those issues are very much settled by how the maps are drawn. But it's sometimes not easy to make that connection between this arcane business of drawing maps and its impact on issues that people really care about.
Let's go to Craig in Middleton. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Joy. I think my question was actually answered while I was on hold. I was just wondering how in Iowa they avoided impasse and stalemate and were able to pass the legislation. So,
I'm not sure I heard that. I guess how did Iowa pass their independent nonpartisan commission redrawing the maps, Senator Cullen?
Well, actually, we're finding out about that because they did it in 1980. They switched the system in 1980, and I remember they had a Republican governor then, and both houses might have actually been Republican. But they, whatever reason, we're going to try to find that out. What was the climate in Iowa in 1980 that allowed them to do this and be able to have it be accepted? And I don't really have the answer to that. I'm sorry, but we're going to get it because it's something that sort of come up in our minds, and we've got to find some people who can tell us what was going on in Iowa in 1980.
Yeah, because the problem usually is that if Democrats are in control, they want to redraw the lines, and if Republicans are in control, they want to redraw the lines. But somehow in Iowa in 1980, they decided to turn that over to the independent commission.
Maybe there wasn't complete control. Maybe one of the houses was Democrat and the governor was Republican and so on. Maybe that's, but we're going to find out. That's an excellent question.
John in Janesville is with us. Hello, John.
Hello, Joy. What a great conversation we're having this morning.
Well, I'm glad you like it, John.
I have a question. It seems highly unlikely that the legislative approach is going to work on this bill for all the reasons that I think we're familiar with, I wonder about a more grassroots constitutional amendment process. If somebody's thinking about doing that versus going through the legislature, and I think the other thing I'd say is another state that's recently gone away from drawing maps like we do to a more third-party approach, I believe, is California.
Yeah, thanks very much, John. We're running short on time, Senator Cullen. Do we have a grassroots constitutional amendment approach in Wisconsin?
Well, we actually tried that. Senator Schultz and I tried that last session. That takes two consecutive legislative sessions and then go to a referendum. That if we could ever get that on the ballot, I think the public would vote for our change. But
the legislature has to pass it first before it would do that.
Has to pass it twice, two different sessions. And so we thought that was ultimately going to go nowhere and take a lot more time and get us closer to 2021 when the parties would be trying to calculate who was going to be in power. So the faster way is to go the Iowa way. That's why we found they ended up going this way.
We have just a minute left, Senator Cullen, and I wanted to ask you, I understand you're working on a bill that would require seatbelts in new school buses. Why?
Well, because seatbelts save lives. It's really that simple. We require, we get in any other vehicle in Wisconsin, we must wear our seatbelt by law. And yet we say with school buses, these kids who have been in some kind of child restraint systems literally since the day they leave the hospital after they're born, they're used to wearing seatbelts or restraint systems, whatever, depending on their size. And they... All their life, and then they get to school, or if they ride a school bus, they get on the bus and there's no seatbelt. It doesn't make any sense. We do everything to make a school bus safe, except the one thing we know works the best, which is seatbelts.
We'll work on following up on that issue. Thank you very much, Senator Cullen, for being with us. This is the State Capitol Report.